And so what Jesus did, you know, he had already, according to John, he had given four miracles. Remember, turning the water into wine? He went ahead and he healed a boy who was pretty much dead down in Galilee. And he told the father, he's going to be healed this hour. And guess what? He was. You know, our Jesus, there are many Jesuses out there. Talk to many people and it'll tell you a different Jesus. But this Jesus also went ahead and, you know, he went to the pool of Bethesda, last miracle that John records, and he healed a man on Sabbath day. Well, it got the Jewish leaders upset. They're like, we can't have this. We have our tradition. Traditions are good for some reasons and bad for other reasons. So, now we're going to look here at the fourth miracle. And Jesus had just finished giving a large discourse. And he had finished his discourse in John chapter 5. Now we're going on to John chapter 6. Now remember last Sunday, if you were here, it's mentioned about the resurrection and how it was mentioned in all four Gospels. Well, this passage is mentioned also in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and of course John. So Jesus, and what I've read and what I've researched for, you know, all week long, apparently this took about 4 to 6 months after his discourse. Jesus gets on a boat and he goes across through the Sea of Galilee. Verse 1, it says, in these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. Now, you can understand the tension. Today we have a lot of tension with our politics. We have a lot of tension. A lot of people are just about coming apart in the seams. They don't understand our government. And what made things difficult for the Jewish people was the Sea of Tiberias. There was Caesar Tiberius. And you really don't want to call somebody who is lording over the people who don't like you a sea after your name. You don't really want to do that, but they did it anyway. So they just about come apart at the seams. They're like, we need a deliverer. We need a prophet. Look at verse 14, and you know, it tells you down there that it says, and these men, when they had seen in John chapter 6 the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of the truth that the prophet should come into the world. They were looking forward to a prophet, not necessarily the Messiah. Well, I'll back up 1 minute and I'll stand corrected on that. They were looking for a different kind of Messiah, one that would take care of them politically and one that would deal with the Romans that were there over them. Nobody likes to have people lording it over them. Unfortunately, this is a time that Jesus wasn't ready for that. Remember, God is in control. Now, what God does is that he performs a miracle, the fourth miracle, the meal, okay, which is basically, we're going to look at this here, okay? We're just going to take a minute here and pause and think about if you were there over in the Golan Heights. This is where Jesus was. Remember the Six-Day War? Remember 1967 that the Israelites were attacked? Remember that was on the news, you know, ABC and other news networks. And, you know, it's like these people ever leave Israel alone. We need to pray for Israel today because we just found out in the news a few weeks ago that Iran has been giving the Palestinians rockets. And also Iran has been manufacturing more arms to Russia. So Russians found out through this leak, through this airman this past week, Russia is building more armaments, than they ever have before. Of course, we know what's going to happen. Bible prophecy, what, right? We know this, that Russia is going to come down and attack Israel right after the rapture takes place. A premillennial viewpoint there. So, the Golan Heights, you got that. It's kind of interesting that Jesus and his disciples, picture yourself there for a minute. You see, these thousands of people, I was there the other day in a Commonwealth, and I'm telling you, there were thousands of people, not hundreds of people. Thousands, there were so many people you could hardly walk anywhere. There were cars jammed everywhere. I guess everybody wanted to be outside. They knew the curse was coming. You know, the cold weather was coming. But, you know, we do live in a cursed world because of sin. And, you know, thank God that Jesus came and he died on the cross for us. He was made a curse for our sins. Very simple. All we have to do is humble ourselves and pray that God would open our eyes to his salvation. So there he was with his disciples, verse 2. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. Now remember, they're following him because of what? The miracles. They're not following him because of who he claims to be. Very sad, and unfortunately today, even in churches, you have a lot of people, or, you know, either a poll, a survey was taken. You know, you're finding out you have more and more big churches, gigantic churches, and then you have, it's like the middle class is doing away with, right? Put it to you in perspective. And you have a lot of small churches, like here we are. And, but you know what? The Spirit is powerful. We have a powerful Spirit here. As a pastor here, it's a privilege to be here. And I'll tell you what, I can sense God's presence big time. Okay? And I've been in churches much bigger than this. I'm sure you have too. And I don't sense God's Spirit at all. Okay? And yet, there were people that coming to Jesus' time, and I'm sure it broke his heart because he saw all these people. Like we do in church today, people come disgruntled. They don't like what they hear, so they leave. That's what happened with Jesus. They are angry at God, so they don't like what they want to hear, and they leave because they're angry at God. There's unfulfilled expectations in that crowd, too. You see people out there today, too, and even people who leave churches, unfulfilled expectations. People have the attitude, I will follow Jesus as long as I am Lord. And say, that's all kinds of wrong. Isn't he supposed to be Lord? No, some people have the attitude, I want to be Lord. And Jesus, you do what you want to do for me, you know? That kind of selfish attitude. And you know what? I feel sorry for people who have that kind of attitude. But you have the same crowd of people who are like, oh, you're not going to heal me? Or, you know, you're not going to feed me? Let me tell you, the people in this society, especially the young ones, the entitled ones, are falling into this trap. They want everything, you know? And it's sad. Christians, we need to be careful about that. Yes, we want God's blessings. Absolutely. With exclamation mark. Yes, I want God's blessing. And you know what? God wants to bless us. And it's a sin if we don't accept those blessings. In my book anyway. You know, I never want to turn down what God wants to give me. Because I could turn it right around for his honor and glory and give it back to him. And this crowd were missing the point. And you remember the sower and the seed. Remember, there are people like Jesus' time before we get into Philip and Andrew. You know, they heard the word. The wicked one came along. Remember Matthew 13, and the seed was snatched. It was not had not grown, had not stabilized in that ground. Second of all, when people as we talked about in Sunday school, they have the joy, they're here 1 minute at church, and all of a sudden their life starts falling into trials and tribulations. That's why it's so important to grab people, like it says in Jude, pull now the fire, so to speak, because tribulations are going to happen. Jesus says this in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but as we are allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the heart. There are going to be trials. Why didn't a lot of these people didn't follow Jesus in his time as well as today? Because of trials. They're like, if Jesus loves me, what is going on? So they're angry. And I know people, and you know people today, that are angry at God because it's not what I expected. It's not what I want. As one singer, you remember him, I Did It My Way. Very foolish song in a sense. Nothing against that guy who sung it. You know, I pray for his family and the rest of them. But it's, you know, so, and then thirdly, it's the world would come along. So the seed would grow, and the word of God is the seed. And what happened was it would be choked. It'd be choked by the world. And that's where a lot of our young ones are today. Listen to them, talk to them. Oh, yeah, they're into everything but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that hasn't changed in over 44 years since I've been saved. It hasn't changed. In my heart rings a melody. You know, that song's beautiful, but also my heart breaks at seeing people since I was saved. Hey, nothing's changed. Nothing's new under the sun. Jesus' time was the same way with the people. But then there were people that grow. People find good soil, and it produces the fruit of the Spirit. 160, 30 times, right there in Matthew 13. And we have to see how far God's word has gone into our own hearts too. So getting back to this miraculous feast with all these people, and my point is, everyone, it's not about the numbers, please. It's not. It's about where we start with ourselves, with others. God will take care of the billions out there. And let me tell you, I'm like you all. If there was a way that I could shout and scream the gospel to everybody, I would. Thank God, pray for the translators out there too in the missions field. They're still, and before I forget, please forgive me, Brian McIntyre had a wonderful story. I printed it off and put it on the bulletin board over there. I forgot to tell you. Okay? So treat yourself to it. You see a picture of a child there. It's a very sad story, but it's, in the end, God gets the glory. He had time. So, and then we see here, so they're all here on the hill watching all these people coming in, you know, and I don't think it'd be any different today in church today, you know, if we saw thousands come here today. I don't think it would be any different in one way, you know. So they saw Jesus because he had healed people and they were diseased. Verse 3, and Jesus went up into the mountain where he sat with his disciples. I think that's just wonderful. Isn't it wonderful that they sat with Jesus? You know, have we sat down with Jesus? Have we taken time with him? We're doing that today. Amen. Starting off the first day of the week. It's the best way to start the day off. Guys and I had a Bible study yesterday morning, a men's prayer breakfast. We talked about selfishness. Oh, I don't like to hear that. Oh, you know, I had to look in that book. I would look like I was looking in a mirror. I was like, oh, I don't like what I see. Don't worry. I don't care what I look like as long as I look okay to the Lord. But God sees the sin in us. God sees the sin in us. And so he was sitting with his disciples. Verse 4, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. So why did all these people come? It's because of the Passover. They were there in the northeast section of Galilee. They're in the mountainous area, or the hills, however you want to call some people call the Appalachian the mountains. And they, you know, talk about the Arkansas hills through there, if you've been through that section. Depends where you're at. You call the hills, the mountains. So the Passover was coming near. And there were, oh my goodness, there were so many people. Millions would come from around. And verse 5, and when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company come unto him. And this is interesting. Put yourself in Philip's shoes. Now remember, Philip is from Bethesda, and that's from around that area. And he looks at Philip and he says, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Can you imagine the Lord asking us that question? And you're looking at him, it's like, there's just these little towns sprinkled around. Lord, I have no idea. Did God ever ask us that, to do something that was impossible for us to do? No. No. All things are possible with him. And, you know, what the problem is behind this story, and this is something we need to get, they forgot about the Lord. You know, it's kind of interesting today. We have everything we need as Christians. We got Bibles. We have a wonderful church building. We have wonderful fellowship here. We know people that know people that know people. We know a lot about the Word of God. We have been blessed. But sometimes we forget about who we're worshiping. We forget about Jesus. And Philip took his eyes right off and he looked around. And I'm sure I would be kind of like perplexed. I'd be like, how am I going to feed thousands of people? All I got is a refrigerator at home, Lord, and I've got a little freezer. That's it, you know. My wife can cook, but, you know, no, we always look in the wrong place because we're not looking at Jesus. Verse 6 says this, and this he said unto prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. In other words, Jesus knew exactly what Philip was thinking. Isn't that wonderful? God knows that. And also, these disciples, they saw the miracles. Look at yourself today. You're a miracle. I'm a miracle by the grace of God. Look what Jesus can do. The problem is, we usually fail in faith. We usually fail in faith because we're like, this is just too big. You know, the problem is too big. The mountain's too high. You know, ain't no mountain that's high enough. You know, you've heard that song. Ain't no valley low enough. All right. With Jesus, he says, even a mustard seed of faith, you know, that's the smallest seed. And you probably heard that in Sunday school class, can grow into the biggest tree. A mustard seed tree. Huge. Okay? A little bit of faith. A little bit of faith. I had to struggle with that yesterday with all the people there. I was like, what do I do? It was in the afternoon. It was hot. You know, I was thinking about what the doctor had to say about my skin. I was like, I don't believe I don't belong to be out here. The Lord says, why don't you go inside? You don't have to be out with the crowds. You can go inside and talk to people about the Lord, or you stand in the shade and talk to people about the Lord. Just keep moving along. And the Lord gave me the idea about going over to Mary's place. But, you know, it's like sometimes when we're by ourselves, God gets our attention. Sometimes we don't have to depend on other people, right? We have to do it on our own. God says, go out and do it, do it. Because, you know, I don't look at other people. I don't judge other people. Other people are doing what God tells them to do. And if they're not, then that's between them and the Lord, right? Fair enough. It's just like, I better judge myself first. It's like when you have the Lord's Supper. I gotta judge myself first. So Peter, Philip answered and said unto him, 200 pennyworth. Now that's 200 denarii, depending on what translation you have. That's 2/3 of a year's worth of wage. He says, of bread is not sufficient for them that everyone, them that take a little. So you hear about people who see the big picture in life, and people see the little picture in life. He was looking at both pictures. He's saying, look, we don't have that kind of money. You know, how are we going to do this, Lord? Remember, Philip, he just healed this man, this cripple, for 4 years in the pool of Bethesda. God's saying today, I have done many wonderful, great works in our lives today as a church. Believe. You know, the biggest sin that people have today as Christians is unbelief. That's why John writes this gospel, that you may believe that Jesus is what? The Son of God. That his deity is our incarnate Christ. So, we have all heard of this scripture verse, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct thy paths. There are many paths and lives, and I'm sure Philip was thinking, okay, I've run out of alternatives here. You ever gotten that way before? We just run out of ideas and we're like, okay, Lord, the Lord's like right there. The other few weeks ago, I looked at a picture and somebody who was there said, didn't you see it in that picture? I was like, no, I didn't see it in the picture. You know, I'm not talking about some of those pictures where you try to find somebody in the picture and what looks different. They all look the same. But sometimes that's how the devil works. And they all look the same. Yet there's one that's different, and that's Jesus. And you know what? I can rest assured that knowing every one of you as well as I do, you go right to the gospel. This is after Sunday school, a friend and I were, a beloved brother and I were talking. He said, thank the Lord we know who's in control. And I felt good after that, you know, because I knew he was in control. Philip lost the goal. He lost the vision. So, verse 8, and one of his disciples, Andrew. Now here comes another one. Now, remember, Philip is over there talking and he's doing the math. There's some people are really good at math. But yet, they lost the whole picture. You know, have you ever met a bean counter? You've heard that expression? Somebody who's just rigid about, you know, how... Yeah, they're good to a certain extent, but sometimes they can be overbearing. And maybe Philip was like that, like a bean counter. But then he had one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. Now, the word lad has maybe of a boy 7 to 8 years old. And I believe he was there with the disciples. I believe that since his disciples were up there on the hill looking at all these people coming on, this boy comes up. I don't believe there's a lot of expositors that believe that, you know, Andrew took it from him or bought it from him. I don't think so. It doesn't say what happened. But I think this little boy came up. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, which were the loaves of bread, were like little pita bread type of deals, and little sardine little fishes with olive oil put into it, marinated into it, so it wouldn't go bad. Because I'm sure mom, when he told the little boy to go out and pack a lunch, you know, hey, make sure you eat something, a little protein, a little fiber. It's good for your diet, right? So there's a lad here. And Andrew comes along thinking he can help. And of course, we all think we can help the Lord. You know, this is big time. And sometimes we have big time issues in our lives. Which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among many? The question is. And so again, the doubt comes. The questions come. And of course, that's normal. We question the Lord, that is always normal. And I should never, and we should never beat ourselves up about it. Because when God's in the miracle-making business, like, and I'm praying for miracles today with certain people who shared prayer requests with me, and you know, people we love, God can do miracles. He can change hearts. He can put thoughts in our mind, like, how many times has that happened this week? That we've just been thinking about something like, oh, that's right. I think it's the Lord giving it to us. I think it's the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that's in us, you know, than our flesh, than the world, than the devil. And so, verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. You know, there was much grass in the place. So it's springtime. There was a lot of grass there. It was the time of Passover. It's springtime. It's about, you know, now, when you think about it. And you had, what happened was, Jesus says, you know, just settle down here. You know, you all are looking in the wrong places. But they meant well. Sometimes we mean so well about doing God's work, but we're all in the wrong place. But yet God, we forget about where God is. You know? How many times has that happened to me? Oh, many times. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, first of all, he gave thanks. We should be thankful for everything. And thank God, I see so many of us here that are thankful spirits coming in here. You know, life might be hard, but you know what? We're going on anyway. And you know what? Life is hard, but we've got a salvation to live. And as we learned in Sunday school, thank God life is hard, but we know the Lord's going to come back in His time, in His time. And I have to, you know, when things get really down to the rubber hits the road, I'm like, Lord, your time, in His time, in His time. You know that song? Oh, I love it when these songs come up, but then I got to stay concentrated. And then he gave it thanks. He distributed it to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. So in the other Gospels, it mentioned that they went about, the disciples, Jesus broke off a piece of bread, he broke off another piece of bread, and another, and it just kept on going like that. The fish that were in a container, he pulled out one, and kept on pulling out another and another. So there were groups of 100 and groups of 50 that they were, Jesus told the people to sit down. When you had a, in that area, it has been told that it was great for a concert. Now, I'm not talking about Woodstock here, okay? Because remember, that was out in the farm in, was it 1969? They had hardly any food, remember? And the farmer who had it brought all these people. But you know what made Woodstock work out in 1969? Was the people got together and worked things out. They made it work to help people that were starving. Okay? And the townspeople in Woodstock didn't have the money. They didn't know what to do with all these people. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus knew what to do. And so he said, sit down in groups of 50 and 100. I believe it was in Matthew's account. So they did that. And so they were fed. In fact, they were fed. They had so much there were leftovers. Isn't that great? We can go to somebody's house and have a meal and have so much food. You know, just think about this past Easter. Wouldn't it wonderful if we had time to sit down and be with family, or be with people we love, or just this past month, springtime, and you have all this food. Oh, it's so good. I tell people, you know, I'll know. Pray for me because I think I'm going to eat too much, you know. But, you know, it was just enough, just enough. And these people had just enough. You know, all that kind of food on the table, we are blessed as a country. Pray about all these food places that are blowing up. And these trains keep on being derailed. I believe these explosions that are happening around our country, problems, I call them explosions, God's judgment on this country. Pray for the trans community. Pray for BLM. They all need the Lord. They become violent and angry because they know they're doing wrong. Simple as that. But I don't try to antagonize, try to get people angry. I try to, you know, Lord, give me wisdom here. Tell me what to say when I need to say it and time to move on. I'm not looking for trouble because we all know there's plenty. So his disciples were giving out the bread and, verse 12, and the fishes. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments and remain that nothing be lost. You know, it's important today to be good stewards. When God has blessed us with a lot or given us things that we don't need, you know, we give them to Goodwill, Salvation Army, right? Why should I have something that's just going to sit there? You have some people who hoard things that what doctors tell us, they feel very insecure about themselves, so they have to have lots of things to feel good about themselves. And people who have a problem with doing a lot of shopping, okay, they do it because it makes them feel secure. You know, it's kind of sad, but that's how the world will suck you in. You're never satisfied with what the world has to give you, but Jesus satisfies. And he wants us to be good stewards of what he's given us. He doesn't want us to be bean counters, so to speak. He wants us to be wise stewards and to enjoy what he's given to us and be thankful. And the people without, unless they can work or whatever, you know, we try to give to them. This happened in this church. What a history this church has. Pray that it continues. The ever-living story. I hope it's an ever-living story. I got that from my pastor. He started a radio station back in 1973. Our church, my home church, is as old as this church. What's the difference? Thank God, nothing. Nothing. Because it's the same gospel. It doesn't change. Oh, yeah, we may have our differences, and you know, but that's normal. Thank God we don't all think the same, look the same, speak the same. We're not robots, but God, by God's grace, he saved us and brought us together under one roof. So verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. And by the way, barley loaves were the cheapest type of bread. Now, these people didn't have much. You know, I look at this passage and I'm so thankful for all the food we have. If you've been to third world countries, you can really appreciate what we have. And for those who have been mission fields, those who have traveled, you know, or those who even look on YouTube, you can look on YouTube and see people who have nothing and just be very thankful for what we have. But you know, we forgot one thing in this country, like the disciples did. Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, we look at God's character, his goodness, his compassion, his provision, his generosity, his abundance. We don't have time, but remember with Elijah and the widow. Remember? Elijah came and the drought was going on. The widow says, hey, I and my son are about ready to die. We only have one meal left. And Elijah comes along and the Lord directs him to her and says, give me your meal. Now, you know what? That widow had nothing. And thank God there's a God knows when we have nothing and he takes care of us. You know what? As the story went, and even her son died. And Elijah got on top of the bed. He put his knees down. He put his hands on top and he prayed. And he says, Lord, don't let this evil come upon this. Of course, God's not the author of evil. But people sometimes call out to God because they're distressed, they're upset, they're confused. And what happened was, is out of that container, there was a continual meal. There was more to make bread. There was continual oil for that lady and her son. It's a beautiful story. And God never runs out of his resources. And God, just like he did with the multitudes, gave them bread upon bread, fish upon fish. You know, I'm very thankful that I can have leftovers after a meal. Sometimes my wife cooks more than she should because she was taught by her grandmother, who was raised with missionaries, that you know, you always make sure you have more when you cook. And she can't stop the cycle. It's always, you know, it's good enough for me. But anybody who ever comes over, there's leftovers for them. That's how we think in our family. You know. So we see here in verse 14. And then those men which they had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, is this not of the truth of the prophet that should come into the world, like I mentioned earlier? You know, the disciples, they got it finally. They understood it. But these people, they forgot, as I'm closing, forgot about Moses. Moses. He was such a humble person. In Numbers, it mentions that he was very humble, more than humble than a lot of people at that time. In Numbers 1 and 12, 3, we don't have the time, but he delivered through the power of the Lord from Egypt. Took away from that. People forget about Gideon. Remember Gideon and the fleece? Gideon, he was the youngest, least important in his family, but he was delivered from Manasseh, from the evilness of Manasseh. And then, of course, we have David, unknown shepherd boy, a nobody. He defeated the giant as well as the Philistines. What I'm trying to say here this morning, God can take the insignificant, such as a little boy, 7 or 8 years old, and do great miracles. God could have taken Philip, and I'm not bashing Philip, because who knows, I might have thought the same way. Oh my goodness, how are you going to fix this? God will do it. We've had issues come in our church. God will fix it. Because we have a church, we have a board here that will go to the Lord. As a board here in church, we get very serious. And we hold each other accountable. And we love each other. And we say, look, this has got to be done for what? For God's glory. And each one of us does too. We all keep each other accountable. Because we love each other. We're looking out after one another because the world's not going to. And then verse 15, closing, this is when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king and depart again into the mountain with him, he decided to take him to a time to be alone. Sometimes we have to get away from it all. Sometimes God says to us, you know, you need to stop. You're stressed out, you're tired, you're worn out, you need to stop. And that's okay. Because God wants to keep us around for a while. You know, the number one killer today is heart disease. People die of heart attacks. They don't know when to stop. We're like a hamster on a wheel, right? Running because this world is saying, let's grab all you can get. You only live once and then you die. But you know what? Jesus saw the crowds. They were like, hey, let's make him our king. Let's get delivered from these problems. Unfortunately, like I said earlier, a lot of young people are going to the government for help. Pay off our student loan. That sounds good. Of course, we all know that. It was done for votes. That's why I think a lot of people got in. Say a big lie, keep on repeating it long enough, and people will believe it. Or, you never get anything for free, right? You never get anything for free. If these people call you on the phone, I got to stop here. Try to sell me something. You know what I tell them? Can I talk to you about Jesus first? Oh, bye. Click. You know, works every time. Every time. You know what? Life is too precious. People are too precious, aren't they? Got to love them. Jesus said, not yet. Jesus is in control. And guess what? Something bad happens today. Jesus is in control because he loves us so much. I'm done. I could just go on and on, but I got to stop. I'm going to get in trouble. So God bless. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, we look forward to this day. We are thankful that you have made it and we are glad and we rejoice. Lord, we pray for the multitude of people, the sea of people out there. There are so many, even it says in Revelation, you won't even be able to count them when we get to heaven. There'll be so many when we're before the Lamb's throne. And oh, Lord, we thank you that you were made to land the sacrificial lamb for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross, you shed your blood. But not only that, that you rose again. And, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday is still fresh in our hearts. This is when we see things spring to life. But then, Lord, there are people still miss. They call it missing the boat. I call it just missing the word. They forget, Lord, it's not about the temporal, but it's about the eternal. And I pray that somebody who here is not saved or somebody who online is not saved, as you look into yourself, just stop what you're doing and look into yourself and say, I need Jesus. Show me, Lord. You know, God is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder for those who diligently receive him. Lord, we ask today that you will continue to bless us, show us. We know, according to 1 Thessalonians, that, Lord, the scripture verse that was read earlier, that there are going to be trials and tribulations. There are going to be problems, but then there's also going to be blessings. There's going to be growth. You know, Lord, we just pray that Lord, as we work in our lives, as you work with us, we not forget about you and everything. And help us to be doers and not hearers. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.